Leader of the Islamic Revolution terms as big lies the U.S. claims on being dedicated to spreading democracy. Hezbollah Secretary General warns against Zionist, warns Zionist regime of attacking Lebanon. Armed groups in Syria abduct more than 300 people in 2 days. Bahrainis take to the streets in large numbers to condemn the regime's brutal crackdown. An Afghan stage protest rally to express their outrage at the deaths caused by overnight U.S.-led raids. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN in English News with Mayuni Washitsas. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says claiming to be dedicated to spreading democracy in the world is one of the big lies told by U.S. authorities. In an address to thousands of clerics, officials, and people of the northwestern Iranian city of Tabriz, Ayatollah Khamenei said, on one hand, the U.S. government makes this claim and on the other, they are constantly confronting and fighting Iran, which is one of the most obvious democracies in the region. Ayatollah Khamenei pointed out that while the Americans claim to be promoters of democracy in the region, they are shamelessly supporting countries which have no understanding of democracy and their people have never cast a vote or seen an election. The leader cited the U.S. offer for direct talks with Iran to resolve the issues between the two countries as another example of the contradiction between words and deeds of U.S. officials. He added that this claim that they want to talk to Iran is made at a time when the Americans are accusing the establishment of the Islamic Republic of wrongful and offensive things and are resorting to sanctions and pressure to counter the Iranian nation. Elsewhere, Ayatollah Khamenei called for the destruction of nuclear weapons across the world, saying, Iran never plans to build such weapons. The leader added that Iran believes that nuclear weapons must be obliterated and it does not intend to make nuclear weapons, but if it had not had this belief and had decided to possess nuclear weapons, no power could have prevented it. Hezbollah Secretary General warned the Zionist regime not to attack Lebanon. Said Hassan Nasrallah said in case of any attack, Hezbollah's response will be harsh. Nasrallah made a remark while speaking to hundreds of supporters from an undisclosed location via video link.
All we need we have now in Lebanon. We do not need to bring it neither from Syria nor from Iran. All we need for any future battle, if it happens, we already have in Lebanon. The Zionist regime's airports, ports, power plants are under threat. They have some power plants that only need a number of our missiles to turn Israel into darkness. There is one power plant in the middle of Israel. They said it themselves that if the plant was to be targeted, they would need at least 6 months to repair it. Can they afford 6 months of darkness?
Armed groups in northwestern Syria have abducted more than 300 people over 2 days in an unprecedented string of sectarian kidnappings. The kidnappings involving large numbers of women and children began on Thursday when over 40 civilians from the villages of Foa and Kafraya were kidnapped by militants in Idlib province. Kidnappings have multiplied in Syria since the beginning of the Syrian unrest nearly 2 years ago. Meantime, in Syria's northern province of Aleppo, clashes erupted between militants and government forces in the vicinity of the Aleppo International Airport. At least 4 Turkish officers were also killed during the clashes. Police have arrested 60 protesters across Egypt during a nationwide demonstration against the government of President Mohamed Morsi. A statement released by the Egyptian Interior Ministry said 30 people had been arrested in Cairo on Friday. During violent clashes between police and protesters outside the presidential palace. Some 20 people were also arrested in the Garbia clashes for attacking the governorate administration building, city council, and attempting to storm a police station in the city of Atlanta. A total of 125 people were injured during Friday clashes across the country, including Giza, Venezuela for governorate, El Degahelia governorate, Suez, and Port Said. Protesters want Morsi to realize the goals of the revolution that toppled former dictator Hosni Mubarak in 2011. Earlier in the day, about 5,000 Egyptians staged a demonstration in front of Cairo University in support of Morsi. They condemned the recent wave of violent demonstrations. Bahrainis have taken to the streets in large numbers for the funeral of a 16-year-old protester, the latest victim of the regime's brutal crackdown. On Saturday, mourners marched through the streets of Daya, the village where Hussein al-Jaziri was killed. Security forces tried to prevent mourners from holding the memorial ceremony and clashed with protesters, firing tear gas and stun grenades to disperse the crowd. Bahrainis have been staging demonstrations since mid-February 2011, demanding political reform and a constitutional monarchy, a demand that later changed to an outright call for the ouster of the ruling Al-Khalifa family following its crackdown on popular protests. Dozens of people have been killed in the crackdown, and security forces have arrested hundreds, including doctors and nurses accused of treating injured revolutionaries. And now a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution terms as big lies the U.S. claims in being dedicated to spreading democracy. Hezbollah Secretary General warns Zionist regime of attacking Lebanon. Armed groups in Syria abduct more than 300 people in 2 days. Bahrainis take to the streets in large numbers to condemn regime's brutal crackdown. And the Afghans stage protest rally to express their outrage at the deaths caused by overnight US-led raids. Afghan security forces will be banned from calling for NATO airstrikes on residential areas to help in their operations. President Hamid Karzai made an order 3 days after 10 civilians died in such a strike in the country's east. Addressing a conference at Kabul's National Military Academy, Karzai expressed his anger about the strike and said he would issue a decree on Sunday preventing any resort to such measures by his forces. NATO airstrikes and civilian casualties have become a significant stress point in the relationship between Karzai and his international backers.
In the Shigal district of Kunar, foreigners and our Afghan National Security Forces carried out an operation and bombarded a village. They killed 14 people, including women and children. Tomorrow, I will issue a decree stating that under no conditions can Afghan forces request foreign air attacks on Afghan homes or Afghan villages during operations.
Afghans have staged a protest rally in the central province of Wardak to express their outrage at the death of a student in an overnight raid by US-led forces. On Saturday, protesters blocked the main road in the city of Maidan Shahr, which joins the Afghan capital Kabul to the southern city of Kandahar. They also carried the body of the student, saying they would not bury him until the government takes serious action to improve the security situation of the province. U.S.-led troopers killed a university student after arresting him in a village in Wardak province late on Thursday night. Afghan officials have also confirmed his death and launched an investigation into the case. On February 12, similar protests were staged in Afghanistan's eastern province of Ghazni to condemn 3 U.S.-led raids that killed at least 4 civilians. Civilian casualties have long been a source of friction between the Afghan government and U.S.-led foreign forces and have dramatically increased anti-U.S. sentiments in Afghanistan. At least 58 people have been killed and 200 others have been injured in a remote-controlled bomb attack carried out in southwestern Pakistan. The attack took place on Saturday in Hazara town, on the outskirts of Quetta city in Pakistan's southwestern Balochistan province. The area is mostly inhabited by Shia Muslims. Quetta's senior police officer said that the Shia community in the region was the target of the attack. According to witnesses and officials, an angry mob surrounded the area after the explosion, barring rescue workers and officials to reach the incident scene. Violence has been on the rise in different parts of the country in recent months. On January 10, nearly 130 people were killed and many others injured in a wave of deadly bomb attacks targeting both Pakistani security guards and civilians in Quetta. And here's a report about e-learning, also referred to as computer-based training, internet-based training, or web-based training. E-learning includes electronically supported learning and teaching, and also educational technology. Here's more about its implications in Iran.
The fourth International Conference on e-learning and e-teaching was held in Shiraz. 400 participants from different provinces of Iran and 10 foreign countries attended this scientific gathering.
We had about 400 papers submitted to the conference, and only one-third of that one was accepted. And here we have more than 100 papers to be presented during four parallel sessions.
I just had a speech about e-learning and peer feedback, and my main message is that we need combinations of e-learning and schooling, so what we call blended learning, and that we should find the best added value of e-learning and what is best done in education and classrooms, because the e-learning has some advantages, and also face-to-face learning has also some advantages.
E-teaching and e-learning have many advantages for professors and students.
We've got two main advantages of using e-learning. The first one is cost, because it is very economy efficient, and the second one is anytime learning, which is not available in normal education in universities.
In Iran, we started these programs at universities since about 10 years ago, and we have about 10,000 students doing their degree through e-learning in several universities. And Shiraz University alone has got almost 4,000 students, and more than 1,000 graduated from this program in last 5 or 6 years.
British officials investigating the horse meat scandal will carry out further tests after three more meat manufacturing plants were raided. Food Standard Agency investigators, accompanied by police officers and local authority officials, made seizures at the three sites and removed meat samples for testing. Millions of products have been pulled from store shelves in Britain, Ireland, France, Spain, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. After the scandal broke, the supermarkets and food suppliers were told to test processed beef products for horse DNA.
Local shops here, we always, whenever delivery comes, we check the delivery properly. Is anything only beef, lamb and sheep and chickens? We don't do nothing else. We properly check all the deliveries, boxes by boxes, to make sure for the customers get good and fresh meats. They should check this ones because they are superstores. Okay, they're selling cheaper meat products. Always something wrong in it. Short dates, like this new issue comes for the horse. These issues come for the superstore, not for the local, because local people like us, we are local shops. We're doing our best for the customers, nice fresh, because they're selling cheaper. They don't know what's coming out from the Europe, that they all from the Europe. They're buying from the Europe cheaper ones. They're selling cheaper. They don't know why it's in there even.
I think it's disgusting, the fact that they've mislabeled the products they're selling, and I hate the idea that I've been eating a horse in my lasagna instead of a cow, which is bad enough as it is, but. Yeah, I think it's disgusting just that they're trying to get more money and profit.
Okay, well, I think it's wrong that they've labelled it as something that it's not, but
other countries eat horse. I don't really have a problem with eating horse, I've got to say, but it's, I guess it's people's choice. It's wrong to label it as something else, but I'd be fine eating it if they said it was horse.
There's various factors to consider. There seems to be a complete lack of traceability for the horse meat. It's come from various countries into the UK. Consumers have been misrepresented. It's an extreme breach of trust on their part. They think they're getting beef, they're getting horse meat. Companies are aware of the fact that this may have happened before, but they just carry on doing it anyway. And then there's also the issue of the source of the horse meat, if you like. Horses reared for food will be completely different from horses reared for racing, for example, say. Not just their diets, but their medication will be different as well. Now, one painkiller that's been investigated by the Food Standards Agency, the FSA, Boot, there's been possibilities that could be linked to various side effects in humans. For example, cancer is a possibility, and they've recently brought in a law, to have all horse meat tested for that. Now, there's ethical implications there, there's health implications there, there's trust implications there. The horse meat scandal is far-reaching, and I don't think we've heard the last of it. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out there's more horse meat going around other countries as well as the UK.
Now my colleague in Lisbon has a story about the effect of horse meat scandal on Europe's economy.
From where this food on our plates comes from? Is our food safe and healthy? The scandal broke last week after some Findus and Aldi lasagne and spaghetti bolognese, all made by Comigel food processing company in France, were found to contain up to 100% horse meat. Questions arising had to do not only with horse meat being sold as if it was beef, but with the risk of this meat may contain substances, danger for human health. An initial investigation has discovered this meat is part of a complex food supply network across Europe. Horse meat originated from Romania slaughterhouses before being sold to a Dutch food trader, then to a Cypriot trader, and on again to a French firm. In many countries, processed food is being analyzed to confirm its quality. Up to 16 countries from European Union may be affected by a business where, according French government, 750 tons of meat were involved. Inia Shubtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
And finally, before wrapping up, thousands of Portuguese people have protested against austerity ahead of spending cuts of 4 billion euros to be announced by the government for 2013 and 2014.
We have no government. We are being robbed. So I'm here to demonstrate my discontentment because it's enough.
What's at stake here is not only the situation we're in, but also democracy. So I am here to fight against this government and this policy.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of the Ryan and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.